It's time for The Drive on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Glacier Garage, a local show for gearheads, car lovers, and those who just want to learn more about anything with four wheels. And now, The Drive on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome to The Drive on KFAR Radio. You are here with Harley and...
Brandon.
What's going on, man?
Oh, just hanging out.
You have a good weekend this last weekend? Anything special?
We went to Gorilla Zoe.
Nice.
Which was a show that we sponsored, and it was really cool.
Yes, I was looking forward to that. That would have been a fun event to attend.
On my, when we got to meet him in the meet and greet prior, and he signed like a poster for me. It was like capital B, and then R-A-N, and then a big capital D, and then O-N. He's like, Brandon.
Nice.
Like, Jesus. So that's
pretty cool though. Like I've listened to that guy's music for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I know our wives are like, that's like high school music, like stuff they grew up with.
Yeah, no, it was awesome. It was really cool. People definitely timed it right. I'm glad we went for the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the openers, I mean, it's all still good music. And a buddy that I went to high school with, I wasn't like super close with him, but I mean, my high school is small, so you knew everybody. But yeah, he was on stage just killing it. And I was like, dang.
Nice.
No clue.
Had no idea.
No idea. And he was crushing it. So I caught him after the show and told him how good it was. And yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, a couple openers. So it was kind of slow getting rolling. But then, I mean, it was a 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. show.
Oh, wow.
So people would just, they just knew. They just show up at midnight. And maybe it was just regular bar goers anyway. I don't know how that works, but
yeah.
Yeah, people just showed up at midnight and it just got crazy busy all of a sudden.
That's cool.
But it's a good show.
Yeah, sweet. So today we're going to talk about, well, if we get to them all, top 10 things to look for when buying a pre-owned vehicle. I know I've got some memories, some stories selling used cars at the dealer versus selling them off of like Marketplace or Craigslist. Even I can go far back to where buying stuff from the newspaper classifieds. Like I think my first vehicle I ever purchased was a tradesy. I traded a four wheeler for a truck, and man, what a nightmare!
It's your vehicle's your second biggest purchase,
mm-hmm.
you know, behind your house. And people who sell their house without getting anybody involved, or buy a house without getting anybody involved, like
it's crazy.
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You are setting yourself up. So,
yeah, because even if you, like, I mean, I got an inspection and he told me all the things that needed to be addressed and the seller fixed some of them and I'm still dealing with some of them.
That's honestly the crazy part, because it happened to me too, where it's, you get the inspection, here's the report, here's all the things that need fixed.
Yeah.
And maybe now it's the buyer's responsibility to put their foot down.
Yeah.
But it's like, we were moving from a different state. We needed it in the house. We're like, all right, let's just close and get the keys. So, like, maybe they just knew. Yeah, I mean, he probably did a quarter of what was on the list. And then we took possession. So, I was like, what was the point of all that? What was the point of the report of all the things you're supposed to do if you didn't have to do any of them?
So, it is up to the buyer. Yeah. So, on mine, like, there was some, like, it's a deal breaker for me. If this stuff doesn't get done, I'm not proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
And they did those things. And then the rest, the engineer, which, nice guy. A lot of people don't like him because he's so particular. But he's like, man, I'll show you how to do this. I'll loan you tools to do this stuff. And let me tell you, I'm glad I did not accept that offer, because I ended up paying somebody to do it. And they spent weeks under my house.
Dang.
And yeah. And it still has issues. So,
yeah. So yeah, you can only imagine buying a car.
Well, buying a car, so
the things,
it's just as crazy as a purchase, right? Because it's like we've talked about doing our home renovations, and a car is the same thing, man. You get under a car, especially a car that's from the 90s, it's had 30 years to go through people's hands, and they're like shade tree ideas of like they want to do in the garage or in the front yard of their house.
Just hacking it up.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of opportunity for weird stuff to be found on a used car. you know, I mean, I think stuff just coming through our shop the last 4 years, we've had cars come in with like motor mounts that aren't existent. Mm-hmm. Motor just shakes from one side to the other or front to back, like just missing parts. It's insane.
Well, and it's crazy because, like, and that's something we deal with every day. It's like you get a bill that's a little higher than you expected. You're like, well, man, maybe I'll just go buy something else.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. I mean, that's an option. You either fix this, you buy something else. But it's like, you know what you got now. Mm-hmm. You've already had it for however many years.
Yeah.
And now you have a dollar figure and a time frame in front of you to make it perfect. If you just put this one out to pasture and then start all over.
Starting fresh. Whole new list of problems that you don't know about.
Yeah. You're going to go buy something and be handed a very similar list or worse. And you have no idea what the quirks are of that. You're starting fresh.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know.
So the number 10 thing. So it's going from possibly most important to least important. So number 10, seller's vibe check. So basically you show up, seller's acting weirder than a 3 a.m. Craigslist ad, run the other way. There's usually a reason.
Dealing, but he probably was a 3 a.m. Craigslist ad. He's acting just as weird as he should be.
You know, and then, private seller versus going to a dealer. I think both represent challenges and have telling moments, whether or not something like body language, how they're acting. Are they dodging questions? Do they know vehicle history? I will say, being a used car manager, our vehicle histories very short-sighted. We don't really know unless the people disclose to us as they're trading in, which there is a pre-owned disclosure at most dealerships for them to like kind of give us the story behind the car. But most people don't tell you all the mm-hmm. bad things. They want to tell you all the good things. And so it's kind of the same thing when you're a private seller. You know, you tell somebody, I just did all the shocks and brakes and all that. And so it's, you know, it's one of those things where it's like,
As a used car, like you're in the industry and you work at a dealership and you're taking in a trade and you're just dealing with, this is a 2010 Camaro and this is what the book value is. And then you just throw them a number off of that, right?
Off of that. But then you also kind of know after you do it for a while, what goes into reconditioning a vehicle of that mileage.
Right. But I mean, there's no, you're not looking at stuff prior. There's no inspection before you come up with that dollar amount or anything like that, is there?
Depends on the dealer. Like, I know where I worked, the salesperson doing the trade appraisal is supposed to drive the car. but other than that, driving it and doing a walk around, unless somebody is, like, really hitting you back with, like, I need top dollar, no, it's usually not getting put on a lift. It's usually not mm-hmm. getting, like, that thorough inspection.
You throw them a comfortable number knowing you're going to put thousands into that thing to recondition it.
Yeah. And every dealer is different. I know in Fairbanks here, the only ones I know for sure spend money on reconditioning is the Lithia Chevy dealer and Kendall Toyota. They both have strong reconditioning processes that they put a warranty behind.
So, which is nice because as a consumer, if you're buying a car from a dealership, even if it's used, you're expecting
a certain level of
yes. like quality.
Whereas dealing private party, it's literally like you're lucky if it's even taillight. Once that guy has your cash and you have a title to a car and it's signed over, good luck to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, that being said, you know, again, is that seller? What's that vibe like? Do you get? Is it too good to be true? Is it? You know, those kinds of things. You kind of got to listen to your tummy at that point. Like, I don't know. Dude seems kind of weird.
Man, I went to go look at, I'm sure we'll get to the stories, but I went to go look at a Firebird. It was purple, and it had, like, the big, like, three-piece wing on the back.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was pretty cool looking. And it was, like, I was younger. I was like, oh, man, this will be sweet. Like, I know a truck is way more practical, but I can have a Firebird. Like, let's go look at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, we're looking all over it. Dude seems kind of weird. Didn't really know much about the car. And, like, as we started picking it apart, like, that three-piece wing was, like, liquid nailed on. And it's just like, what
the heck? Got some wood screws
holding it together. You fire it up, and it's like, there's definitely no exhaust under this. Just loud as heck. I'm like, yeah, no, dude. None of this was in the ad. You made it sound perfect. So.
Oh, yeah. Buying cars in Florida, when I was living in Florida, buying a car in Florida was a very interesting experience because it was before Marketplace and it was all Craigslist or newspaper. And being in Florida, you know, being from Fairbanks and then going to Florida, you're like, all right, well, this is still in Orlando. Dude, it was like a 2-hour journey to go look at a car just to be like disappointed and be like, well, that was a waste.
But it's like, why would, you know, who are they going to fool? It's like, let's put it in the ad that this thing is perfect. And then you get there and the door's kicked in. It's like, did you think I wasn't going to see that?
Or it's missing like half the interior.
Like what?
Yeah.
Why did you waste my time? Yeah. You owe me money now.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you got for number 9?
So I feel like number 9 and number 8 kind of go together. So title and paperwork and accident history.
Mm.
So is there a title? Is it got to be bonded? Is the title clean, rebuilt, salvaged? And does the paperwork match? Is the VIN on the car the same as the VIN on the title? You think it's pretty simple stuff, but I mean, I, as a younger guy in college, I mean, I did reconstructs all the time from the local salvage auction. Mm-hmm. And you would put parts from one car onto another, and it's 100% likely, like doing a door swap where they put a VIN plate on the door, that it no longer matches. Mm. And so I don't even know how you rectify that situation if that's something you do, but
I don't know. I mean, we dealt with that once there's a clause on a title. It's kind of a wrap. I don't know if there's a way to fix it.
I don't know. But, it goes back to doing your own due diligence and, like, you know, the accident history. Shoot, we have a mutual buddy who bought a CTSV from another buddy.
Mm.
And it was titled clear up here. And then when they sold it to one another, he went to go retitle and it came up salvaged. And it's because it was just missed the first time it was titled in Alaska. And then they caught it because it was like a Washington deal.
It was a clean title. And everybody thought it was a clean title trade.
Yeah.
But then previously there was a salvage on it.
Yeah.
So now you got to.
Now it's
a salvage forever again.
Yeah. So.
And somebody dropped the ball there.
Yeah. And so. Using Carfax, auto check, something like that. They give different stories. Auto check, I think, is probably a little bit. I like auto check better because then it will give you, if it is a positive, like, and there's no accidents, it'll give you comps with like different values and like auction values. You can kind of do more with an auto check, I think, than Carfax. But Carfax will give you service history. So there is that. But we can get a little bit more into that. For now, we're going to take a quick break. Be back with Drive on KFAR.
The Drive. We'll be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Is your car feeling more tired than Monday morning without coffee? It might be time for an oil change. Don't let your car hit snooze on maintenance. Bring it to us, where we'll give it the wake-up call it deserves. Our oil changes start as low as $49, and that's for the good stuff. We're talking synthetic. And every oil change comes with a free safety inspection, plus we can check your filters and top off your fluids while we're at it, at a price that will leave you with plenty of pizza money. That's Glacier Garage at the end of South Cushman, just behind GCR Tire. Open 7 to 5, Monday through Friday. Online at glaciergarage.com.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's websites and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50/50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50/50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50/50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to The Drive on KFAR Radio.
All right. Welcome back to The Drive on KFAR. We are discussing basically the top 10 things to look for when purchasing a vehicle. The difference between private seller and dealership. We talked about seller's vibe check. Are they being dodgy, weird? Kind of told some stories about buying stuff in the past. Now we're talking about title, paperwork, accident history, and the importance of just running VIN checks and the complications you could possibly have. kind of jumping back into that, I mean, we've kind of stopped working on reconstructed cars here at the shop just because we've seen some, like, frames cobbled together and just, like, clearly not safe. So those are clearly not rebuilt properly.
Yeah, and well, some people, it doesn't bother them, especially if they're going to keep it forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my truck got hit. I'm going to buy it back, deal with a branded title, rebuild it, and just keep driving it.
Yeah.
It's like, there's vehicles that I thought I would keep forever, and there's no way I'm ever going to sell this thing. I love it. That day comes, and you want to sell it.
Yeah.
And just because that says reconstruct on it, it is worth like a fifth of what it should be.
An insurance company and a bank will lend 60% of full value on a reconstructed vehicle when done properly.
I didn't think they would lend on a reconstructed at all.
Very few banks will.
Yeah.
But if they do, it's 60%.
So I don't know. I've never been into it. That's a dead no for me. It could be amazing, like that CTSV, if that thing's a dime and I'm 90% done with the paperwork. As soon as he was like, oh man, this thing's actually a reconstruct, I've been out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why, you know?
Well, you and I are particular about things, so we're not.
We've also seen the frame, like you said, I guess that's where you're going with this, the frames. You put something on a lift, and that crumple zone has already been crumpled, and somebody worked it back out and stitch welded some stuff on there.
Well, it's amazing what you can do with a frame rack. Like I said, when I was doing them, I bought a Grand Prix GT. Super low miles, was smashed in the trunk in the driver rear, and like where we happened to pull from on the frame rack, we got super lucky. It pulled everything out to where like you could tell the rear quarter had buckled at one point, but we were able to like beat it in with like a small hammer and then run some filler over it, and you would never know.
Mm-hmm.
And then same thing, you just pound that taillight area back out into somewhat normal shape, get it to where everything lines up. Again, with all the plastic trim, everything, you would never know.
Did it brand the title?
Yes.
It did. Okay.
Yeah, so it was a reconstruct. But, I mean, you know, in that time, that car was probably still a $15,000 car, mm-hmm. and I probably had $4,000 into mm-hmm. it because, I mean, I was doing it all myself.
Well, that's good. Now you're showing both sides of the coin, where me, I've never gone down that path just to – avoid it altogether.
Yeah.
But then you've been successful having reconstructs.
Yeah. I rebuilt a couple and had pretty good success, but I also knew actually Fred Sayer, the demo derby guy, kind of helped guide me through a lot of that when I was buying cars at the auction.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, that's how we met. And so I like stayed away from certain things. And yeah. So moving on though. Next thing, service records. So a well-documented car is a well-loved car. There's definitely some truth to that because I see people come in here like they've got a file folder for their 2015 that's like 4 inches thick. I'm like, how do you have this many service records for a 10-year-old vehicle? Because they keep up on every bit of dealer recommended maintenance.
I can think of a name right off the top of my head. Guy always comes with like a green folder.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. He was just here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And great client, very particular. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, if you bought any of his cars, they are dialed.
Yep.
So there is some truth to that. I mean, here's the thing. The flip side of that coin is, like, I maintain all of my stuff mostly to, like, manufacturer dealer recommendations, but I keep zero evidence. Like, if I were to sell,
you'd have to call around and get it all. And yeah. So, I mean, I guess just make sure you're keeping your invoices and throw it in the glove box and you'll have everything. I mean, that does, especially in a private sale, that goes a long way if I can see that stuff. Because the last thing I want to do is get this thing and do an oil change on it, and it's just sludge.
Yes. So that is kind of going to cause me to jump forward a little bit, but it would be a pre-purchase inspection. Mm-hmm. So that's number 5 on the list, so jumping quite a bit ahead. But I think if you don't have service records and you don't have things that are verifiable just by looking at paperwork and condition, a pre-buy inspection is super telling because, yeah, are it's the dips full? It's cheap. Yeah, it's cheap reassurance for sure. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, you know, what's the fluid level like? What's the condition like? And, I mean, something that isn't even on this list, I guess it is in a different way, but is the car clean? Like, if you're going private party and they've still got, like, ground-in Cheetos in the carpet and, like, it's just a mess, you can bet that car is probably not that well maintained.
Right. Mainly just because of their, what's the word I'm looking for? Their, just the way they're showing the car. Like, if I knew somebody was going to come look at my house to buy it or whatever, like, and my carpets aren't even vacuumed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or like the car, well, it's just not even washed. Hasn't been like.
It shows how much you care.
I'm not interested.
I had somebody come by to look and give me bids for my deck, and I still made sure any area that somebody was going to go to inspect was, like, dialed. Like, just because I don't want someone seeing my stuff not clean and, like, how I would want to be it, to be represented. And so, same thing with my cars. That's why I think it's very true, being somebody who likes to detail cars, you get into somebody's car and it's just an absolute wreck. It could be an off occurrence, but if you get in that thing time and time again and it's just constantly just dirty and grimy, you can bet that car, it's going to, and it wears your interior, everything, just more if you keep it dirty. Mm-hmm. So it is telling, I think, for sure. I mean, again, it's just like when I worked used cars at the dealership, we would still wash our front line. Even though it's been through detail, it's been cleaned, they would still rewash cars on the front line every day because you still want them to be clean and be represented well. And so it's the same thing, private seller. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah, you're going to want that thing to be clean, dialed, best chance to, like, put a good, like, first impression. Moving on, number 6, test drive feelings. So you're going to learn more behind the wheel than you will under the hood. Listen for weird noises, vibrations, how do the brakes feel? Check the acceleration. Is it misfiring? Does it seem funny? Does the alignment pull? Is the steering wheel super loose? All of these things. I was told very early on in my life, because my friends knew I was a car guy, do stop and go. Like, going down the Johansson and then coming back down Airport Way, you're probably not going to find a whole lot out. But if you go through downtown and then hit the Johansson and then come back through with a lot of stop and go, that's going to be very telling. Because if it's got weird overheating issues, getting stop at multiple lights is not going to allow a lot of air to move through the radiator, and it's going to show its face. You're going to have to use the brakes a lot. If the brakes are pulsating, it's probably going to need brakes. There's all these different scenarios that stop and go traffic will tell you that just going down the highway won't. But then also, the highway will tell you things that the stop and go traffic won't, like getting up to speed, like 55 miles an hour. Does it pull super hard one way or the other? Does it make a weird humming noise you've never heard before? Those types of things.
And this is exactly why we tell our technicians that the test drive is part of the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, you're going to learn more in that 10 minutes being behind the wheel than you will 30 minutes under the hood.
For sure.
You can't tell rotors are warped just by looking at them.
No.
If you don't drive that vehicle, you're going to miss a lot.
For sure. So I've got to ask, you've bought a lot of cars.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any crazy experiences test driving cars or?
Trying to think of any in particular, but I mean, I'm like you said, I'm pretty particular, I guess, and I can diagnose pretty much everything that's wrong with the vehicle just by driving it. Like you said, you can feel a ball joint or a tie rod or a sway bar link or brakes or whatever, but man, I really haven't bought anything semi-recently. It's crazy because some of the stuff, like the Anchorage buys, like I have confidence that I can fix
whatever. Yeah.
So as long as the body is good, I'll deal with the rest. Like the I just had it picked out that I wanted that generation of truck with the 6.2.
Yeah.
With the last one I had, and I can't find it anywhere locally. Can't find it. I see one in Anchorage. And I tell dude, I was like, hey, I'm buying a one-way ticket. I'm going to fly down, buy this thing, and drive it back without even looking at it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I've seen the photos. It looks clean. If I get there and it needs ball joints, whatever, I'm still going to buy the thing. Maybe negotiate lower, but I can fix all that stuff. So I guess I don't know.
So I've never had any crazy test drive experiences as a purchase or as a prospective buyer. Let me tell you, selling cars.
Oh, man. Okay. I do have one when you're done.
Dude, I remember this lady came in. She wanted to buy a brand new pickup. And so she was driving a nice, like, Suburban coming in. So I'm like, okay, yeah, we can go, you know, test drive this high trim level. I want to say it was like a Sierra Denali or it was a High Country. I can't remember. It was one of the two. And we're going down Van Horn and we're coming back to the dealer, which she did not follow my instructions on the test drive route to begin with. So I was already kind of like a little stressed because I don't know. I kind of followed the rules when it came to certain things at the dealership. Test drive route was one of them because they were all right hand turns. Very little likelihood of you finding yourself getting into an accident. So she did not follow that route. Turn around halfway, making left hand turns. We are getting, we're approaching the Van Horn Cushman intersection. Where we're going to have to turn left and then go left back into the dealer. And I'm like, yo, you see that light, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool. Yo, like we're getting really close and we're still doing like 45. We should probably slow down. And now I'm like passenger seat, imaginary brake pedal pushing, just like losing my, and it's, you know, it's like 5:30 at night and it's, there's still traffic. I'm like, dude, We're not stopping for this light. It's not going to happen. And I'm like, stop now. I freak out enough to where she starts trying to slow down. We slide through the intersection.
What the?
Traffic's honking at us because, like, we just blew through red light. And I, like, had to, like, literally just, like, pull over right here on the side of the road, take over, like, get out. Like, here's the thing. You wreck the car, it's one thing. You're messing with my life. Mm-hmm. So I'd like take over, but that's probably the scariest dealership test drive I had ever been on. And it was just like, what in the world?
She's like, I see that light. I don't know what color it is, but
dude, yeah.
What the?
I've had people not know how to drive stick and take off and like they manage to get out of the lot with me and we'll get like halfway down the road and I'm like, you doing okay? Well, I've never driven a stick. Why are you here trying to buy this manual car then? Well, I want to learn. Okay.
So I'm going to grind up your gears.
Yeah.
Man.
Dude was an MP. I remember I sold him a Subaru BRZ manual. Had to have it. His buddy had an FRS.
Mm.
And so.
Twinsies.
Yeah, they were MPs. Dude, he ended up buying it. He figured it out. But yeah, that was another interesting one.
Well, we're about out of time, but I'll tell my story on part two, and then we'll run through the other. How many more do we have? Five?
Yeah, we're halfway through.
Perfect. All right. We'll catch you next week for the part two of top 10 list of things to look out for when buying a used car.
You've been listening to The Drive on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. The Drive is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.